Prophet Hosea, chapter number 6, we read 1 through 3, 1 through 3, 1 through 3, 1 through 3. Now the man of God says, come and let us return to the Lord. Let us return. That's what revival is all about. A revival is a returning to the Lord. It is a returning to the Lord. You know, sometimes we're not aware of it. We think that because we are physically present, we are present with the Lord. No, it's not about physical presence. When it says, let us return to the Lord, it's not about physical presence. A lot of people are physically present, but they're spiritually not. They may be physically present, but mentally not. They may be physically present, but emotionally not. So when it says, let us return unto the Lord, that means everything, all of me returning to God. Spirit, soul, and body. What does that mean? That means all of me wanting him. All of me wanting him. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. He will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up. Number one, return. Number two, revive. Number three, raise. Can you see those things? And this is prophetic, by the way. Where we are reading right now, it is prophetic. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, right? Return, revive, raise, rain. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. What is revival, church? A returning to the Lord, a going back to the Lord, a taking back of steps towards the Lord. That's what revival is all about. But now he says again, after 2 days, he will revive us. He will revive us. In the revival, there is a pouring out of the Spirit of the Lord again, which we call the infilling of the Holy Spirit. This is what we are crying for in the revival, that the Lord would visit us again, that the Lord would visit us anew. It does not mean that the Lord has left us, but we are desiring a dimension, a different dimension, a higher dimension, a greater dimension in the Spirit. That's the revival, the reviving of us that we are talking about. A whole lot many of us might have become lukewarm at this point. You see, we are requiring a revival. A few of us maybe by now could have become cold towards the things of God. You see, why revival? Why we are requiring a revival? A whole lot of us right now, we may not be where we'd want to be with the Lord. That's why we require revival. You know, where I am is not where I should be with the Lord. It is not where I desire to be with the Lord. Honestly, we require a revival. Now, here's the thing. We cannot take ourselves to God. It takes the grace of God. Now, in a revival, we cry out to him and say, Lord, I feel so far away from you. I feel so distant from you. Lord, in the place that I'm in is not where I want to be, because I cannot of my own take myself to God. Why revival? Why revival? There are a lot of things that take us away from the Lord, that take us out of the presence of the Lord, that take us away from the place where we should be with God. We may be spiritually not where we should be right now. We may be emotionally not where we should be right now. We may be psychologically where we should be right now. And this is why last week we spoke about the word of the Lord says, set your affections on the things above. All right? Now, some of us, our affections could be where God does not really want them to be. Our hearts could be where God does not want them to be. Our hearts could be taking us so far away from God because we have set our hearts on other things apart from God. Why revival? Why revival? And you people of God, please, there is a fresh fire. There is a fresh oil. There is a fresh anointing. There is a fresh touch. Your yesterday's oil may do nothing to today's problems, may do nothing to the devils of today. Please, let's understand that there is a freshness. That's what revival is all about. There is a newness, there is a freshness, there is a fresh fire, a fresh oil, a fresh anointing, a fresh touch. There are dimensions. There are dimensions in the spirit. There are levels in the spirit. All right? When we want to make us, rather when we want to make it through, we want to make it through, we require a fresh anointing, a fresh oil. When we want to ascend into different dimensions, when I want to be better than I am currently in the spirit. And please, we all know this, that everything begins in the spirit. I say we all know that everything begins in the spirit. There may be a breakthrough that we are looking for. There may be a blessing, a prosperity that we are looking for. But we all know this may not be unless it first begins in the spirit. This is why revival. To say, Lord, a fresh oil. Lord, a fresh fire. Lord, a fresh touch. To say, Lord, do something new in my life. Right now, Father, I am stuck in the rut of my life. I desire you to do a new thing. Not so long ago, I spoke in this house and I said, where are the visions? Where are the divine, the prophetic dreams? Where is the spiritual phenomenon? There is spiritual phenomena that we used to experience, that we used to enjoy, that we used to walk in. What happened to that? Where is a new revelation? You see, nothing new happens unless it is preceded by a new revelation. Where is the new revelation? Are we living today perhaps on yesterday's revelation? Are we living today perhaps on yesteryear's revelation? And we notice because we are carrying the revelation of yesteryear, the revelation of yesterday, everything has become so much harder. Why is it harder? Everything has become so much harder because we are walking on the anointing of yesteryear. There is a freshness that we require. That's why he talks about on the second day, on the day number two, he says he will revive us. This, where the portion of scripture where we are reading right now is prophetic. If you don't understand the prophetic language, you won't understand Hosea here. You won't understand Hosea. God does not use the same weapon twice to produce the same result. It doesn't. We need a revival. The Church of Jesus Christ is in need. It is in a great, 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 great need of a revival. Right? We need to walk in revival and not walk in gimmickry. I say we need to walk in revival and not walk in gimmicks. We need to walk in revival and not to walk in mind control. We don't need to mind control anyone. We need to walk in the presence of God. We need to walk in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We require the grace of God. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is the ability of God that makes things that are impossible with us to be possible. We require revival because we are requiring a grace of God that will make those things that are impossible to be possible for us. Why revival? There is need. A greater need than you can imagine. We need people to be one into the kingdom of God, but they will not be one into the kingdom of God because we desire them. Not because we desire them to, but it requires a grace. Listen, you people of God, there is a grace of God that accomplishes something that God requires. Right? There is a grace for prosperity. There is a grace for blessing. There is a grace for deliverance. There is a grace for prosperity. There is a grace for success. There is a particular grace. There is a grace for healing. You see, revival brings about those things. There is a grace. And when you're walking as a child of God, as a church, when we're walking in the grace, my friend, we are undefeatable. That has got nothing to do with what we might have read, with the knowledge that we have. No, no, there is a grace. A grace must be given. A grace must be poured out. A grace must be released. There is a grace. There is a grace that causes people to purchase houses. There is a grace that causes people to purchase vehicles. There is a grace that causes people to purchase lands. There is a grace that causes people to break through into business. There is a grace that causes people to break through, that catapults people into wealth. There is a grace. Now, this is why we require revival. The fresh anointing. The fresh fire. All right? Not the yesteryears. It worked then, it will not work now. Yes, then it did, but it will not work now. Oh, glory to God. Tell a neighbor, say, after 2 days, he will revive us. Oh, Father, we bless you. No. Then he says, and on the third day, he will raise us up. That is beautiful beyond measure. On the third day, he will raise us up. Let me repeat myself. This portion of scripture we are reading here, it is a prophecy. Prophecy. Hallelujah. Now it says on the third day, he will raise us up. Let us look at this. Following on the raising up. In Psalm 66, verses 10 and 12. Psalm 66. Verses 10 and 12. There is a returning, there is a reviving, and there is a raising. Can you see that? It's a prophetic portion of scripture, this one. Now, Psalm 66, verse number 10, it says, "For thou, O God, has proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." In the New King James, I like it. It says, "For you, O God, you have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined." Lord, you have proved us. You have tested us. You have refined us. You have filtered us. You have sifted us. Oh, the refiner's fire. Oh, the refiner's fire. We have gone through the most. We have gone through the most. But we notice that we are not destroyed. How did we go through the most? It took the grace of God for us to go through. All right? It says, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined." Let me say something on the testing here. God does not test you to fail you. He tests you to help you. The testing of the Lord is to help. He never tests to fail us. He tests us to help us. If we understood that principle, if we understood that premise, we would really appreciate God when we are going through diverse kinds of trials of testings. The Lord does not test us to destroy us. He doesn't test us to fail us. He tests us to help us. One. Number two, he tests us to improve us. Number three, he tests us to prosper us. New level. I say new level. That's where the raising comes in. New level. He raises us up. And verse number 12, he says, we'll see the prospering comes in verse number 12. He says, "Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, but thou, you brought us out into a wealthy place." You see, he tests us in order to prosper. He never tests to fail. I say never tests to fail. He tests to help us. When God tests us, it is to help us. It is to improve us. It is to prosper. He takes us to a wealthy place. He raises us when we're going through things. We need to maintain the right perspective. I say when we're going through things, it'll do us a world of good if we maintain the right perspective. Maintain the right perspective. After that, he pours his spirit on us. After that, he revives us, the Bible says. Then he raises us up. That means there is a lifting. You see, revival brings the outpouring of the Spirit. Now, the coming with the outpouring or resulting from the outpouring of the Spirit, there is a lifting. Now, notice there is nothing that happens until the arrival of the Holy Spirit, until the reviving. He says on day two, you will revive us. On day three, you will lift us up. Can you see that? But nothing happens. There is no lifting where there's no presence of God. There is no lifting where there is no outpouring. There is no lifting where there is no infilling with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is our agent of blessing, our agent of prosperity, our agent of success, our agent of everything that we require in order to live worthy lives according to the call that God has given us. Holy Ghost, without Him, nothing. Without Him, nothing. Am I talking to people in this house? Until there is the arrival of the Holy Spirit, the fresh anointing, the fresh fire, there is no raising up, there is no lifting up. Friends, in the time of revival, there is a lifting up. In the time of revival, there is a spiritual upliftment. A spiritual upliftment, an uplifting in the spirit. That's what comes in the time of revival. Now, the spiritual upliftment, it eventually overflows into all the areas of our lives. If the church understood what revival is, I am telling you the truth, we would do the best that we agree together, that we seek God together until the Lord breaks through on us. If we understood. It's wonderful in revival, there's a winning of souls and stuff like that. It's really awesome, it's really great, but that's not all there is to revival. Revival benefits the church, not just those that have been won over into the kingdom, not just those that have been won over into the church. No, the people that are in the church, revival comes to benefit them. So we shouldn't just be there to focus on the winning of souls, which of course is the primary focus. But also there is what the Lord does when revival breaks out. There is what the Lord does for the church, for His children in His body. Hallelujah. Now we continue to say, He will raise us up. Now listen, that we may live in His presence. No, He says that we may live in His sight. That means His presence. Oh, this is wonderful. That we may live in His sight. Revival, that we may live in His presence. No, the abiding presence of God. The abiding presence of God has got results. That does something for us. That does something in us. That does something through us. That does something over us. That does something in our midst. He will raise us up that we may live in His sight. Friends, revival brings about the presence of the Lord. Revival brings about the ever abiding and abiding presence of the Lord in a much real and greater way that is palpable and undeniable. A way that you can sense the presence is always there. It is palpable. It is palpable. Let me help you. In revival, it's a return to God. We are seeking God, right? And we'll see what the Bible says. We must seek and continue to seek until what happens. We'll see what the Bible says. Now, when the presence, the Spirit of the Lord has broken through over us, this is the time when Nobody needs anyone to lay hands on them. This is the time when you don't need to bring your prayer request. This is a time when you do not need, honestly, listen to me, you do not need a prayer line. Because God, when revival is broken out, God can heal you. Just you having purpose in your heart that you are going to church. Before God can heal you even before you leave your house when revival is broken. Just by a mere fact that you have purpose in your heart to go to church. You've already connected in the spirit. Can be healed. Even by the parking lot of the church, you are healed. That's revival. This is what we're talking about when it says that we may live in His sight. That we may live in His presence. In His sight. When you're busy listening to Pastor KP on home cell, the last thing you knew, you were listening to him, and then you are captured in the glory. By the time you come back, it's 3 hours after home cell. You're like, what happened? Revival is broken out. I say revival is broken out. I say revival is broken out. Oh, Church of Jesus Christ. Friends, revival is about an encounter with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revival. It is about an encounter. It is about an encounter with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. You encounter Jesus. It's not revival for the sake of revival. You know, I said the previous week, I said there is something that blocks, one of the key things that really blocks the presence of God, revival, it is tradition. Some of us, we know revival traditionally. That's why when you hear the word revival, it does not even move or shake you. Because you know it traditionally. No. Revival, it is about an encounter with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Friends, revival is real. It is not just a feel-good spiritual high. Revival is not just a feel-good spiritual high. Revival is not spiritual optimism. Revival is real, people of God. It is very, very, very real. Verse number 3, Hosea 6. Verse number 3. Now it says, let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Can you see that? Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. This is what we do in revival. This is what we do in revival. We pursue not just the presence of the Lord, but we pursue His person. Now you see how serious revival is. You're pursuing the person of God. Not just His presence, not the person. You pursue to have an encounter with the person. The person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The person of the Father. We pursue to know the person of the Lord, to pursue to know His heartbeat. What is pleasing to God and what is displeasing to Him. In revival, the Lord communicates ever so clearly and so coherently with us. In revival, ears that cannot hear God are unstopped. People are able to hear God for themselves in a time of revival. That is why in a time of true revival, there is no misleading. No one can mislead anyone because the Holy Spirit has been poured out and the atmosphere is so tense with His presence. And who's the Holy Spirit? Our teacher. Who's the Holy Spirit? Our guide. You cannot mislead anyone where the teacher is, the right teacher is. You cannot mislead anyone where the real guide is. No, you cannot. He begins to speak with His people. He begins to teach them. It is in revival when the Holy Spirit, He begins to teach His people, begins to teach. They don't have to wait for Sunday service to be taught by pastor. He begins to teach them. He begins to talk with them. He begins to communicate with them. When the people come on a day like this, whatever they're hearing, it is a confirmation. It is a confirmation and a greater measure of what the Lord had been saying to them. There is something that concurs, that agrees in their spirit, that this is what the Lord is saying right now. Let us pursue. Now he says, he's going forth, he's established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. Now rain is Holy Spirit, is the symbol of the Holy Ghost. Now that's what I was saying to you. Hosea, because he's a prophet, he's speaking prophetically. Even in this place, in this portion, he's actually prophesying. He's prophesying rain. Says there's a return unto God, and then when we return to God, then He will revive us, and then when the Lord revives us, then God will raise us up, and when the Lord raises us up, and there will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on us. He will come to us like the rain. Come on, church, who doesn't want that? He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. Revival is the season, is a season rather of the outpouring of the infilling with the Holy Spirit. That is revival. Revival had broken out in the book of Acts. This is why the apostles were saying to the people that had believed, the people that had received the Lord, the people that had been born again, the apostles had to ask them, have you received the Holy Spirit? Why? Because in a season of revival, Holy Spirit must be poured out, because revival is the season of the outpouring. Can you see that? Revival is a season of the outpouring. Listen to me. We have a dire need for revival, because there are many believers, since they were born again, they've never received the infilling with the Holy Ghost. That makes revival ever so dire. Ever so dire in our churches today. And for a lot of people that have had that experience. Let's read the same verse in the Amplified Bible. The Amplified version of Hosea 3, chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6, verse number 3 says, so let us know and become personally acquainted with Him. That's deep. Let us know and become personally acquainted with Him. Let us press on. Let us press on. Let us press on. Let us press on. It will not come when we are sitting on our hands and doing absolutely nothing. It will not come. Let us press on to know and to understand fully the greatness of the Lord, to honor, to heed, and to deeply cherish Him. Let us press. This is what we have started to do. Today is the third week. This is the third week. We are pressing. We are pressing. You see, God gives you the hunger. God gives you the thirst. But it's up to you and me to begin to press. Can you see that? God gives the thirst. God gives the thirst. On our own, none of us here can want to seek the Lord. The flesh never. The flesh is opposed to the Spirit. The flesh is enmity with God. The flesh is enmity. Now that thirst that you have, it comes from God. Now God says, press on. I'm giving you the thirst, press on. Now it says, His appearing is prepared and is as certain as the dawn, and He will come to us in salvation like the heavy rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. Oh, we need to be watered. Figs, oh, we need to be watered. We are dry. We are thirsty. We are parched. We need to be watered. Let us press on, friends. Press on through the flesh barrier. I say, let us press on through the flesh better. Press on. You know, the flesh resists things of the spirit. When you are wanting to seek the Lord, the flesh says no. When Pastor KB is leading us in prayer, the flesh says sleep. But what do we have to do? Press through. Press on through the flesh barrier. Listen, you don't need to feel anything physically. You just need to be purposed in your heart. That's all. That's all. Daniel, from the day that you searched your heart to seek the Lord, the answer was given. You see? You don't need to feel anything physically. Daniel never felt anything physically, but he searched his heart. He purposed in his heart to seek him. Let us press through. Press on through the flesh barrier. Friends, let us press on and don't give up to seeking the Lord. Let us press on and do not stop. Let us pursue him. Let us pursue to know him. Let us pursue to know him. Let us pursue to know him. Let's leave the rest to God. The thing that we want, we desire, what must happen and how it must happen in our individual lives, in our families, in our churches, in our countries, let's leave that to God. Ours is, let us pursue him. Let us pursue to know him till it breaks out on us. Till the Lord breaks out on us. The prophet Hosea, he answers himself in Hosea 10 and 12. He says, seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Now you see, he says, press on. Seek the Lord and do not give up. Seek the Lord and do not stop until. Can you see? Until he rains righteousness. He rains blessings on us. He rains his goodness on us, right? Until the Lord, he rains his salvation on us. We require salvation. There are a lot of people that needs to be won into the Lord. That's the only thing that really will make our hearts glad. When we are seeing people being born again, coming into the kingdom of God in droves, in their numbers. Let us seek the Lord until he rains righteousness on us. What does that mean? We keep pressing on. If he hasn't come, we'll know he hasn't come, and we're not going to stop. If revival, we keep seeking God, and revival, we seek the Lord, and we keep seeking. And if there is no breakthrough, the spiritual breakthrough, if it's not there, we will know that it's not there. And it says, do not stop, continue. Come on, church. Let us seek the Lord, friends. Let us press on. I say, let us seek the Lord. Let us press on. Please, if we could really agree as a church, agree in spirit as a church, that we are all going to be together on this one. That, Lord, truly, we are setting our hearts as a church, as a congregation. We are setting all of us. We are setting our hearts. Now, here's the thing. In revival, God does something new every time. Nobody can say, I know. It does something new every time. Let us press on, no matter the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Please let us press on. Let us seek him. Our circumstances in the which we find ourselves notwithstanding, no matter how we feel, no matter our failings and our fallings, please let us press on. I say, no matter our failings and our fallings, please, no matter our inadequacies, please, no matter our weaknesses and shortcomings, let us press on. Let us press on. Revival, we need revival. In a time of revival or for revival, God is not looking for the perfect, because there are no perfect people. He's not looking for the righteous and the holy. Righteousness is a gift, by the way. Holiness comes from him. Glory to God. These are things that are given. And we know that the Lord, he never turns anyone who comes to him. We know this is a wonderful promise in the scripture. It's a very firm promise. The Lord says, whoever comes. No, it does not matter the state in the which you come. Right? It doesn't matter. I can be a child of God, a sinning child of God. It does not matter. God never turns away anyone who comes to Him. I can be a child of God who is falling and failing frequently. It does not matter. When it comes to the issue of seeking God, it does not matter the state that you are in. When it comes to the issue of seeking the Lord, it does not matter the state. You really can be spiritually extremely distant. Does not matter the state when it comes to seeking the Lord. And it's the very state that necessitates that we seek Him. Hallelujah. The Lord has promised us, I love this, He has promised us to reveal Himself when we seek Him. Isn't this amazing? So we are not seeking God, second-guessing God. It's not trial and error. No. He said, when you sincerely seek me from your heart, you will find me. I'll reveal myself to you. What a promise. What an assurance. We are given an assurance even before we begin to seek Him. He says, I will reveal myself. I will be found by you. No matter how wounded or battered by life we are, I say, no matter how wounded or battered by life we are, let us seek the face of the Lord. Let us seek the face of God. Some of us are wounded by life. Some of us are battered by life. Whatever happens in our lives, whatever happens with us in the world, let us press on. Let us seek the face of our God. This is all the more why we require revival, church. Why we require revival. Revival is not about man. Oh my goodness. Revival is not a church program. Revival is not about men. Revival is about God. Revival is not a church program because there is no church that can produce God. Revival is not about men because there is no man who can produce God. Because in revival you seek Him until He comes, until He appears. Let us seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on us. It is time to seek Him. Let us seek the Lord, friends. The Bible says where we have read that He will revive us, that the Lord, He will raise us up, and that the Lord, He will pour His Spirit out on us, right? Like the latter and the former rain. I am thirsty for this rain. I'm thirsty for the newness. I'm thirsty for the freshness, the fresh touch, the fresh voice, the fresh guidance, the fresh direction, the fresh anointing, the fresh power, the fresh vision. Oh my goodness. The fresh revelation. Revelation. Listen, the devil is always working. Devil is working over time. I require a freshness to be a step ahead of him. I require a freshness, a fresh revelation, a fresh anointing, a fresh fire to be a step ahead of him. I require revival as Christians to be on the cutting edge with the Holy Spirit. To be on the cutting edge with the Holy Spirit. To be people that are setting trends in the Spirit. Setting trends. That God may use us as a vanguard in His body. That what the Lord, the new thing is wanting to do, that He may use us, that the rest of the body may follow us. Can you see that? This is why in the body, the body has a head, but the head has got eyes. Not everyone is the eye. The body has got ears. Not everyone is the ear. The body has got a nose. Not everyone is the nose. The body has got a mouth, but not everyone is the mouth. I'm speaking prophetically. Oh, come on, church. Oh my goodness, those that are eyes, we require revelation for them to begin to see new things. Those that are ears, we require revelation for them to begin to hear new things. Those that are noses, we require revelation for them to begin to discern new things. For those that are mouths, we require revelation for them to begin to speak a new word from the Lord, and now word.
Revival. Why revival? This is it.
When God will literally put his word in your mouth. This is Hosea the prophet. He spoke about the first day. He didn't know what he was talking about. It came out of his mouth. First day, seek the Lord. Spoke about the second day. He didn't know what he was talking about. Revive. God says, I will revive them. Spoke about the third day. God says, I will lift them up. He spoke about the coming of the rain, the coming of the Holy Spirit, God pouring out his rain on us like the latter and the former. He didn't know what he was talking about. But he was on the cutting edge in the spirit with God. Just like Isaiah began to speak when he didn't know what he was talking about. Can you see that? Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Sir, what are you talking about? Whatever he spoke, it took 1,000 years. It was 1,000 years before it came to pass. You see, to be on the cutting edge with the Holy Spirit, he will show you things that will only take place after 1,000 years. Isaiah, what children are born every day? Unto us a son is given. Sir, what are you talking about? Can you see that? He will be mad. He will be mad. He will be so broken that you will not be able to recognize him. That nobody will want him. That they will begin to run away from him. Sir, what are you talking about? To be on the cutting edge with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what I'm telling you will require. He says, seek the Lord until he rains his righteousness on you. Because when that happens, my friend, then you begin to be a vessel unto God. When now you don't say the things you want to say, now you are the vessel unto God. When now you don't hear the things you want to hear, you become a vessel unto God. Oh my goodness. When now you don't just say the things you want to say. You don't want to see trees and the stars like Louis Armstrong. Seeing how wonderful the world is. No. Now you begin to see a different wonder. When you become a vessel unto God, why don't you thirst for this, you people of God, you church of Jesus, even you people that are young and old alike? Revival. There is a thirst that is painful. If you've never heard it, ask, cry out to God. It's by the grace of God. There is a thirst that gives you pain. There is a desiring, a longing for God that leaves your tummy in aches. And the moment you are in that state, you never let go. Now, this is not just for an individual person. Now, it's a greater measure. God is calling the entire church. I say God is calling the entire church. Is somebody here today? I say God is calling the entire church. By way of winding down, Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 7, verses 26 through 28. I will be reading from the NIV. Now it says, from one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out the appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that, you see, purpose. God did this so that, purpose. This is the purpose why he created you and me. This is the purpose why he created man. God did this so that they would seek him, and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of them. Now this, God says, seek me, but he's not far. He's right here. He says, this is the purpose. This is the reason why he created man. You don't do God a favor by seeking God. That's what we're created for. You don't do God a favor. That's what we're created for. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him. And find him, though God is not far from any one of us. Verse number 28, for in him we live and we move and we have our being. For in him we live and we move and we have our being. Now imagine what happens when we are outside of him. Friends, this portion of scripture we just read now, it says we are created to seek God. We are created to be in Him. We are created to exist in Him. We are created to find our essence in Him. We are created to seek God, created to be in God, created to exist in God, created to find our essence in God. So without God, we are nothing. We are useless. We are irrelevant. Without God, we do not exist, because it says, in Him we live and move and we have our being. In Him we exist. So without God, in the realm of the Spirit, you don't exist. Outside of God, in the realm of the Spirit, you don't exist. We abide in darkness. We are created to be in Him, to exist in Him. We are created to find our essence. You know what is essence? The essence of you, the essence of who you are, the essence of your being is in God. Is in God. This is why you find yourself where you are on earth. This is why you find yourself the color that you are. You see, you didn't choose these things. It's right there in the scriptures. These things were determined by the Lord. Hallelujah. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. It pleased Him. It pleased Him. Now, when we seek the Lord, we are essentially going back to who we are. This is what revival is calling us into. All right? When we seek God, we are essentially going back to who we are. We are essentially going back, number two, to why we are. Who we are. Why we are. Education is wonderful. Education is beautiful. You can go to the best university in this world, to the best institution, even beyond university. If there's an institution beyond university, there is no institution in this life that will reveal to you who you are. There's no doctorate that will reveal you to yourself. There's no professor. Ever, ever. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. There is no education that will give you your being. No education under the sun. This is why when you die with your education. It's gone. It's over. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Friends, the only direction that leads to the right path. The only direction that leads to the right path, that leads where we ought to go and we ought to be, that leads, the only direction that leads to the right path, that leads to where we ought to go and ought to be, is seeking God. The only right path for you in this life is seeking God. The only, you will never find. It's only in seeking the Lord. It's only in seeking the Lord. The only direction where we have to go is in seeking God. That's the only right path. And where we ought to be. Where we ought to be. Outside of God, no one ever arrives. You will be struggling. You will be toiling. And you will die a very miserable, tired person. Very tired. Because outside of God, no one arrives. Some people have tried to find themselves, to find their essence in education. They've had degrees. They've had masters. They've had doctorates. And they came back extremely miserable. Extremely miserable. Because outside of God, we are all lost. We are all nowhere. I say we are all lost. We are all nowhere. Now this is a call for revival. Come on, church. I say this is a call for revival. I say this is a call for revival. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, thank you. Let me close Isaiah 64. Let me close today. Isaiah 64, verse number 7. I'll be reading from the AMPC. Now it says, and no one calls on your name and awakens and bestirs himself to take and keep hold of you. No one calls on your name and awakens and bestirs himself to take and keep hold of you. Revival is an awakening and a stirring up. Revival is an awakening and a stirring up of ourselves to seek the Lord. An awakening. We stir ourselves up. You do it yourself. You stir yourself up to seek the Lord. That's what revival is. Revival is an awakening and a stirring up of ourselves to seek the Lord and to lay hold of Him. We seek Him until we lay hold of Him. And we do not stop till He manifests Himself to us. This revival is never ending until it manifests. That's why you don't give a time frame to revival. Prophet Isaiah, Hosea gave us a time frame. Gave us a time frame. All right? Isaiah also gives us a time frame. Stay ourselves to seek Him until we lay hold of Him. Hosea says, seek Him until He rains righteousness on you. Now that is the time frame. So when do we stop revival? When do we stop seeking the Lord? See that? You don't. That's why revival is not a church program. No. It's until the Lord manifests Himself. Let's clap hands for Jesus.